go for the Brotherhood. We're going to make plays. We're going to play hard. We're going to do what we got to do. O-line, D-line, toughness, 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 toughness.
Hey, Buckeye Nation, welcome to the Buckeye Cast, your only commercial-free Ohio State football podcast. These guys were born and bred in the Buckeye State, and they like to talk Buckeye football and drink bourbon. Subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. Now, pour a drink and pull up a stool. Here's your host, Joe Warwick.
Hey folks, this is Joe from the Buckeye Cast. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to my guy, Frank D, Buckeye Frank. You can find him on Twitter at FrankD_419. He's going through some tough times, but he always cranks out these awesome trailers for each game. You got to check him out. Follow him on Twitter to find him. Also, I think he's on YouTube at Buckeye Productions. So do a quick search for that and hit him up. Tell him what you think of his videos, and just wanted to say what's up to Buckeye Frank.
What's up, folks? We are back, and I am so pumped to be talking about Ohio State losing. Actually, we missed the Oregon game earlier this year because I caught the vid right at that exact moment. Seemed to be very coincidental. I'm not sure. So I had to take a couple weeks off early in the season when we lost to Oregon. Anyways, this is my first loss of the season as a Buckeye fan, officially. Please hit the BuckeyeCast.com. As always, we got free shipping going on. Got to get those Christmas presents for the Buckeye fans in your life. And don't forget, we are releasing the press conferences from Ryan Day and the player interviews. So please keep an eye out on our podcast feeds, wherever you get your podcasts. You guys got any bourbon talk you want to venture into? Jeff?
No. I opened up the bottle of Elijah Craig about game time.
Yeah. Finished it by half.
No, I don't know if I'm going to finish it. I think it's bad luck. I put it away.
What's wrong with it? Is it you or is it the bottle?
It might have been operator error. But no, once that game started going south, I had a feeling that that game wasn't turning around, and I didn't want to keep drinking like what I was drinking had something to do with that outcome. But I don't know.
The volume.
Bad luck. Bad luck. Bad luck attached to that bottle.
Henry, same road. How did you go with the bourbon walk on Saturday, or what did you take?
No, because I can't really control myself like on a game like this. You know, I'm too emotional. I'm slamming beers like they're water. You know, I probably had 17 of those on Saturday. Kept it light, you know, keeping it light, but. No, I was just drinking some watered down light beers mostly.
There you go. You spent the entire game in the restroom.
I was in there a few times.
That's why I quit drinking beer, man. I just end up in the bathroom other beer.
I don't know why, because I mean we're talking about today's college football and games that take 4+ hours. I mean, there's plenty of breaks that you can go drain it.
Yeah,
it's not really an issue.
That's true. If you're watching a Fox game, that's like a 3-minute break between each.
Oh my
each,
God! Yes.
Commercial. So yeah, plenty of time, especially after every quarter. It's like 10 minutes of commercials. Jesus, guys, come on!
I love the touchdown. Then you get the extra point. Commercial. Comeback. Kickoff. Down.
Commercial.
Commercial.
Yeah. The double hit.
Nobody on the football field could have. Yeah. Only one person really needed to move.
Yeah, you could have taken a nice shit around there.
Sometimes that happens when I first get a touchdown. I'm like, yeah, well, I got a good 8 minutes here.
Yeah, the next time. Yeah, I'm gonna play relax, it. Maybe break out a good book. Obviously we all know Buckeyes take one to Michigan, and I would like to take this moment, though, and I hope you guys will join me in welcoming Michigan fans to the rivalry and the Michigan themselves, the team. Welcome to the rivalry. This is what it typically looks like, where you're supposed to win occasionally. We've been waiting here a while, like a long, long while, for you guys to fucking show up, and finally you did. So happy about that. I'm trying to keep this, you know, in a positive note. I'm glad that Michigan also stormed the field, which they've been waiting desperately to do since the last time they beat Army. And if Michigan fans, you guys are obviously headed to the Big Ten Championship. So if you need directions, maybe ask a Buckeye fan. They can tell you, like, hotel recommendations, restaurant recommendations, you know, how to get around the city and whatnot. So
yeah, they've built up enough of a history, you know.
Right. So hit up your favorite Buckeye fan, and they can probably help you out with the locale. So yeah, after all the fun and games, so Ryan Day is now 1-1 versus Michigan. Not far away from John Cooper status, so keep an eye on that. Loses his first Big Ten regular season game, so keep that in mind. So let's jump right into the game, guys. Give me your one big thing, Sean, one big thing that stood out to you, if you can find just one.
If I can find just one, okay, let me pick just one thing. Fucking Run D, that is non-existent. That's one thing, right? When you know what a team is going to do to you, you absolutely 100% know what their game plan is to do to you, and you can't even try to stop it. You go through that whole game 0-0. I don't know if I've ever seen this on the Ohio State stat sheet. You could probably go back and find it somewhere. 0 tackles for losses. 0 sacks. Yeah. That D was trash. They got gashed. They got manhandled the whole game. Our linebackers, you know, we should have at least probably one, maybe two more on the field to stop that offense they were throwing at us. And they just, to me, they were playing sluggish. Maybe I'll go back and maybe I'm being hard, and maybe the camera was on my guy, Steel Chambers, for a couple plays. But he's waiting for the guard to come out and engage him instead of filling that hole.
He got mauled a lot.
It's 16 yards. And it's, I felt like we were not prepared and not aggressive enough in the run game at all. And Michigan came out and absolutely took it to us. Yeah. And that's what pisses me off. I don't mind losing a fucking good, well-fought football game. But when someone just drives it right down your throat, I mean, I love when Ohio State does that to a team. And I imagine Michigan is giddy about that. They must
Oh, yeah. You know, Harbaugh is jerking off to that right now.
But beating Ohio State's, you know, one thing. But doing it in the manner that they did and say, you can't stop us.
Right.
So you've been the past few weeks. You go on, hey, let's look at our drives. Well, guess what? The second half for Michigan went touchdown, 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 kneel down. That's how Michigan ended against Ohio State. Right.
And those weren't field position things or short fields. Those were 60 to 80-yard drives.
Yep.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that was my one, I guess, biggest thing is that you've got a defense out there. And I don't know if – now I'm starting to question myself. Was Combs even the problem? This is the same defense essentially that was week one, week two against us. And maybe we just don't have the horses to stop a power run game. I don't know. Or the scheme or whatever it is. But
we'll touch on that.
It looked just like that Oregon game. It looked just like that Minnesota game.
Yeah, it was very reflective. We'll touch on specifics, but I want to get Jeff's one big thing. Is there any chance that your big thing looks different than Sean's?
Well, obviously the control of the line of scrimmage was the most eye-popping thing. But just to give you something else, I just saw in a lot of instances on special teams, offense and defense where we didn't win the one-on-ones that we typically win. It just seemed like, to a man, Michigan wanted it more. And made me disgusted.
Yeah, there was no momentum change ever in the game.
There was no scheme. The scheme didn't surprise us. Sure, shouldn't have surprised us. We knew what they were going to do. They didn't really try to hide what they were going to do. Nope. They just executed better.
They did a couple of their every point.
Plays. Well, they, everybody's got some wrinkles. I mean, I saw them with some wrinkles. I didn't really see us with any wrinkles. But just to give you something different, but the overall glaring thing was the control of the line of scrimmage that we didn't fail at.
Yeah, it was basically my same deal. I think we got, I would call it more out-coached on both lines of scrimmage versus outplayed. I think the coaching was terrible. Third downs, 8 of 18 on offense, settling for field goals in the red zone. I mean, I just threw like three different things at you, but I don't know if the scheme, and we'll get into that, I don't know if the scheme was ideal. Working with what you have as from a personnel standpoint and utilizing that, I don't know how you get beat on both sides of the ball because of the players we have, the quality, the caliber of players. I don't know how you get beat on both sides of the ball unless there's some type of coaching / scheme issue, right? You know what I'm saying? We got four and five stars across the board.
They
were hyped up for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They wanted it. And I guess you can put that on motivation. Like Hutchinson said after the game, they were tired of being disrespected by Ohio State and blah, blah, blah. But I think when it comes down to it, when you have better quality athletes, I don't know how you get beat that badly on both sides of the line of scrimmage. That seems weird. And Sean, I know, I'm on board with you, Sean, when you say that we got four tackles playing, and not legit, you know, two guards, two tackles.
The O line was trash, and Hutchinson ate them up. But I think that was one of my big things. I think it was everyone in the country's big thing last week, is that's where the game's going to be won or lost. If our supposedly NFL tackles can take on their NFL DNs, and we couldn't.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's my big issue. I guess from there I go to the third down, lack of conversions, taking field goals in the red zone, penalties, obviously. The timing of these penalties on offense was just the worst. Like when we first drive, we get down inside the 10, take a 5-yard penalty, and then CJ gets sacked. Now we have no choice but to kick a fucking field goal, right? And like you just said, the sacks coming over the O line was brutal. I don't know where to start.
CJ Stroud is not a great quarterback under pressure. He is amazing with a clean pocket, but he is throwing off his back foot, throwing weird passes. That one floater he threw that should have so been picked that their guy thankfully dropped. I don't know. Anytime he has to move where it's not a planned move in that pocket, I mean, his mechanics get real sketchy, man.
Well, that comes with pressure, man. I'm going to defend CJ on that one, Sean, because I think that he was trying to throw that one away that went to Wilson. And by the way, let's not forget that was an egregious PI by the corner before the safety came over the top. Okay.
Well, Michigan doesn't get PIs, so I say that.
Well, I'm not sure there is a team out there. I'm not sure there is a team other than us that takes a PI, you know.
I mean, I was on that Smith Najigba one. I thought, well, they're going to review this thing, and I'm like, but it's so the whole review is of this guy pass interfering on that play, and no flag was caught. What in the world?
Well, dude, we'd be here all fucking day and all night if they tried reviewing PIs. Because you could call that just like holding on every play. It's just, for some reason, these Big Ten refs have the fucking flags in their pockets most of the time, especially against our receivers, apparently. And definitely against our defensive ends. So, I was going to pull up the drive chart to talk to you guys about it, but I get sick every time I look at it. I mean, we go punt, field goal, fumble.
Wait, time out before we go starting.
Go ahead.
You know what we started with Julian Fleming doing the same fucking thing he did last week and like letting the ball land on the 4-yard line. Hey, thanks, man. You did it. 2 weeks in a row. What's he doing back? I know Amika's hurt, but I mean, aren't they teaching this kid?
Well, apparently we have no backup from a kickoff return point of view. So that falls.
Olave or Najigba or Wilson?
Actually, early in the season, Travion was returning kicks.
Give me some of that. Give me something in this game. If Fleming is unexciting back there. I think, to me, he's a big strong dude. He's not a return guy.
Yeah.
He's in high school.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I'm all over that, too. I think...
Well, remember, we went from that to the 4-yard line. We're snapping a ball, and the ball gets snapped because they can't hear the noise. The ball gets snapped in CJ's shin, first play.
You know, it's nuts.
Right there. You know what I'm saying? He's walking up to the line to change the play, and they're snapping because there's no communication. It's just a bad omen, that little series right there. I kind of had a bad feeling.
I know.
This isn't the way you start. But it just stayed the rest of the game.
Yeah, they went 3-and-out there. So they go punt, field goal, fumble, touchdown, field goal, punt, touchdown, downs, ball game. A lot of mystery shit mixed up in that drive chart. And also you notice the limited possessions. We only had like 5 possessions in the first half and 2, 4, 5 in the second half. So we're not used to that. We usually get like 13 or more in a game.
Well, it was the turnover battle. We lost.
Right.
And Michigan executed exactly what they wanted to do.
Keep the ball away from us.
Did we win it?
Really? We had a pick on them. We had no fumbles. I mean, turnover on downs, I guess. We had no turnovers.
Right.
We had one fumble.
This is not a fumble. I'm sorry.
No, right.
The Ohio State one early in the second quarter or first quarter was ruled a fumble, but it was a punt where the returner for Michigan fumbled it and he recovered it. So you're right, Sean.
It seemed like we lost the turnover battle. I mean, but that's even more disgusting.
I mean, I'm just thankful that Shaw got that one pick that he did because Michigan was about to open up a can of whoop ass early.
They were doing what we do.
Yeah.
You know, get you down early, but we're built to come back from that. But apparently our issues on the lines were not built for that. So CJ goes 30. Go ahead.
Here's a point to your we only had 10 possessions in this game. However, we possessed the ball for more than them, for almost 32 minutes of this game. And obviously I've got to put some of that on the weather and on the environment. I know it was loud and it plays and that whatnot, but again, that whole thing played right into Michigan. You know, let them pound out long drives, run, pound it down your throat, and limit your possessions.
Sure, they were making they're picking up yards while they're churning that clock. So yeah, that's where the timing gets lost. But CJ goes 34-49, 394, two touchdowns, no picks. He was under constant pressure. That old line was a fucking mess. I actually thought that it got better when Dewan went out, and they switched back to basically last year's line and bringing in Matt Jones at the left guard. Seemed like they were more, I don't know, relatively solidified, but, you know, Dewan was fucked. I think they actually pulled him out of the game. I saw that some people were saying he had a shoulder and went into the medical tent. I think that might have been a performance issue. So, anyway, NPF was getting his ass kicked. I don't know. We spread the ball. Like, looking at the receiver stats, these guys put up fucking serious numbers. I mean, Jackson had 11, Garrett 10, Olave 7. I heard people bitching on Twitter about getting Garrett the ball more. I'm like, how? And why? I mean,
it just looked different, other than obviously the touchdown. It was just freaking amazing. It was almost all underneath stuff.
Taking what the defense gave
them. And Michigan was tackling them. I mean, they were tackling well.
Yeah, the fundamentals. Michigan had it. Blocking and tackling is where Harbaugh said it would be won, and they lived up to it, unfortunately. Trevion only got 74 yards on the ground, did get 50 on 5 catches. Mayan didn't really contribute a whole lot, 7 carries for 20 yards. Getting into the defense, though, I am not going to pick out a defensive MVP as we typically do.
No.
You guys all need to eat shit. You eat shit! And
I reminded Shaw. He saved the early. He saved the first half blowout of it.
Yeah, but regardless, third downs, they let Michigan go 5 of 8. They only got into 8 third downs, Sean. Like you just said, they possessed the ball, 28 minutes of the game, but only got into 8 third downs and converted 5 of them? Fuck, man.
Yeah, when you're running it for 7 yards a carry, you don't need them third downs.
Yeah. But yeah, you're going 300 total yards rushing. It seems pretty easy. Like you said, last 5 drives – went in for touchdowns. McNamara only threw for 160 and a touchdown. J.J. McCarthy, 1 throw for 30 yards. Haskins goes for 170. Big throw, though. 5 touchdowns. It was a big throw. Yeah, Jeff, I give you that. I think that was those big completions were like perfectly played. So...
okay, so we got outplayed and outcoached. Because
I don't know if the secondary did. Secondary is pretty solid. I know that that Denzel had the PI late, and then he did give up one of those 9 routes down the sideline. Not sure he was the problem on defense, you know. I think most of it was up front in the front 7. And quick question. You think it's a good idea to run a 4-2-5 against a team that just runs the ball 50 times a game? Does that seem like a bit?
Well, we tried it like three times this year, and we haven't looked good any other time. So, yeah.
Probably
definition of insanity. You know, yeah. You're doing the same thing over and over again, expect different results.
Yeah. So, which coach is insane?
Well, I think again going back to early in the season podcast with the Kerry Combs hire, and then removing duty from him and putting Woods and Faith in charge. That was a Band-Aid. We all knew that the Combs hire was a desperation hire to begin with. It never made sense. He never had this type of duty. And Dave probably didn't feel comfortable with anyone else doing it at the beginning of the year. So he's kind of like, well, here's what we're going to do. And I expect a full national search for a guy that can run a defense.
Yeah.
For next year.
Yeah, we'll get in. I want to get into coaching moves as soon as we're done with this segment.
That whole D coaching staff, our line is not getting a bunch of pressure. And you know what? Our guys don't play every down like Hutchinson and Ajabo. I know that affords them more opportunities, but our guys should be fresh as can be and should be getting it after it. Hutchinson and not Ajabo, they don't stop. They remind me of Bosa's and Chase Young. They're gonna keep coming, and they don't just blow by their guy and get a sack. They do it through working, and they're working, and then Stroud takes a step up and moves over, and boom, then they get it. But it's not like they're blowing our guys off the ball. They wanted it more. They had more hustle, and I don't know why guys like Harrison and them,
Tyree,
aren't getting those, and even the young guys.
JT,
it's like they go in and engage, and if they don't, it's like if they don't beat you right off the ball, they don't have that fire for the next 4 seconds, to go and keep making that play.
Yeah, I agree. Our defensive line is a big problem, all across the board. I don't know. It seems like they look good against some of these garbage teams over the last few weeks. But then when they're faced with, I don't know if it's better quality O-lines. Like, I don't think Michigan has a great O-line. I think
it's pretty good, especially run blocking.
Right. But typically when they're successful, they bring in an extra lineman or a fullback or something.
Well, they always have two tight ends in there.
They're
always going to play.
I think we are super thin at linebacker ever since Gant and Kayvon quit. Yeah, since they quit, we went super thin. And then EA wasn't available this week. He would be a thumper because he's a big dude.
Taraja Mitchell's not small. Where the fuck was he?
I know. That was going to be my next point. Is I didn't see him all day.
They didn't put him on the field. I mean,
I wonder if there's a transfer in his very near future.
I mean, he could get a free year. I mean, he's senior, right?
Oh, he can get another COVID year at least, maybe two.
Because last year it didn't count for anybody if you don't want it to.
Exactly.
You can use it if you want to, not if you don't. Mm-hmm. So
I can tell you his recruiting year was like
18
fucking
18 or 17. I was looking through
he's an 18 he's an 18. 18 guy, so he's got 18, 19, 20, 21. He wasn't redshirted, so he would have an extra COVID year to make it his fifth.
I thought he had a medical redshirt 1 year, injury redshirt.
I don't see that here on the scholarship chart. I don't think so. So anyway, regardless,
he's not going to be in our plans. I mean, you think if we get a top line D coordinator in here next year, think he would find Taraja Mitchell and say, "No, son, I got a spot for you."
I think he's already in the looking phase.
Jeff, I actually think he could. I think Taraja was an absolute phenom coming out. Everyone expected huge things from him, and
he couldn't play, and he hasn't played in three different schemes. since he's been here.
I know, but you know what? The guys that are playing, they're no good either. So I'm just saying if there were different eyes on it and you're installing a different system and teaching these guys different or whatever, you know, I would feel like when a new coach comes in, it's like, hey, I'm starting blank. I don't have a starter here or there. I'm going to play my best guys, period. And where if you got a guy that's there for a number of years, he's like, hey, this has been my guy. You almost feel like the old kid something or whatever. But with the new guy, I think they can oftentimes be better at finding the best talent because there's no bias there.
I got you. You know, if we did end up opening a search for, you know, a top-notch, high-level D coordinator coming in, Larry Johnson's not going anywhere. We're not firing Larry Johnson, are we?
No.
I mean, he's... I guarantee you, any D coordinator, any college D coordinator in the country, he's going to know what he has in Larry Johnson. He's not going to say, oh, I'm going to bring my own guy. You know? The rest of the guys, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was team or not. I mean,
I think leading right into the defensive changes that have to happen, first of all, let's look at this question. This is a question that I'm posing to you guys. Is a defense any better than last year at the end of the year?
No.
I mean, last year
you're coming off a game, you just gave up 266 on the ground, and one guy got five?
Well, last year we had a lot of linebackers, so we ended up playing a 4-3 or a 4-4 all the time, right? So now we have a plethora of DBs with no experience, by the way, and we're playing a 4-2-5 or, you know, almost six DBs at times. So it's got to come down to players, coaches, or scheme, right? That's what it always is. Or is it all of the above? I mean, you could say it's two of the three or three of the three, but it's got to be those three things. That's the only way it is. So if this defense needs to tweak because of the personnel, which you kind of have to do, right, in college football, you can only work with what you have as people.
Yeah, you look at you look at what you're losing each year and what you got coming in,
We've got a limited amount of linebackers right now, all season. Ever since Gant and Kayvon, you know, quit, we've gotten and it took EA right up until the day before the season started to actually be approved, but he got no reps in camp. So basically, we had three or four linebackers to work with. And then we go to, okay, what kind of defense are we going to run? So they decided to run this 4-2-5, you know, with the bullet being number five kind of thing, and cover safety and DBs. So I don't know. There's a lot of issues. I think that we're going to see one way or another whether these guys are fired or they take jobs elsewhere. I think Combs is gone. I think Al Washington's gone. And Matt Barnes is probably on a tightrope. You guys have thoughts on that?
That's what you're predicting?
That's my thoughts. I mean, Kerry Combs is not going to lose all of his power as a DC and come back next year to be DC in title only.
Why not? Because where else is he going to go? You can go to a B school and get a DC again, but you've kind of proven yourself, Kerry, that with all this talent, you're not up to it. And so you've got no capital. I mean, you're a defensive backs coach, man. And, right. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can make a damn good living at it.
But so is Matt Barnes.
Agree. So I think probably one of those guys is gone, but not necessarily both. And I mean, if I could see, I could even see Kerry Combs realizing his limitations. I mean, again, maybe he could probably go get a sweet gig at D coordinator at Bowling Green or something.
Right.
But, you know, is that what you want to do?
Yeah, it might be.
It's ego. You got to keep ego in the equation, man. He's been given that role. So how do you all of a sudden yank it from him and he stays?
But sometimes you can build ego when you're special with something. Larry Johnson, I'm sure, has an ego. Mm-hmm. And that ego pushed him to become the best defensive line coach in the country. Kerry Coleman was producing as defensive back coach at Ohio State. So if he can say, you know what, I'm embracing this role. For the next 10 years, I'm going to have secondaries that you put out. You can go down and, you know, be one of those guys that, you know, people talk about. The position coaches that are the Heartlines, the Larry Johnsons, those types of guys. But the chess game, I don't think he's a chess game guy.
Well, yeah, I agree. I will say that it seems like they've had some really bad hires from within, you know, promoting guys like they did to Matt Barnes. I think the outside hires, like say a Halfley, are the better route. Like, go get a position coach in the NFL that is up and coming, knows defense, and will bring that to college football, I think, is the way to go. Kind of like Michigan did with McDonald. I think you've got to go to the NFL because these offensive schemes are getting, you know, too complex. Not that Michigan runs a crazy complex thing. It's not just to beat Michigan, obviously. Actually, the goal, as Ohio State puts it right now in their indoor facility, is to beat national teams, Bama, Clemson, you know. So I think you go NFL guy like they did with Halfley, who was just a DB's coach at the Niners that worked with Day when he was there. So I think
Day just knew. Sorry,
no, go.
I was say I think they recognized how smart and sharp as a dude of a coach he was, because he went from coaching our D coordinator, being a D coordinator with us, what, 2 years,
one year.
Head coach to Boston College, and he's got Boston College playing respectable football.
Right.
You know what I mean? As a head coach, you know, exactly. Power Five school.
Exactly.
Some of those guys, you know, I don't know. It's all on the different coaches. Like, people see certain coaches at a certain age. They don't care if you're 32 or 42. You know, if they just see if you have it, then you get promoted quickly. I don't know. Is it even a foregone conclusion that we're going to be overhauling our defensive staff?
No, I'm saying it's realistic.
I haven't looked at social media one bit, so I've not seen
it. I think it's very realistic that Kerry Combs is gone, because he said, like, after he was demoted or basically, you know, ripped of his coordinator powers, that he was going to work his ass off for the rest of the season. He's a Buckeye, you know, and, you know, committing for the rest of the season. And he specifically said season. So, carefully worded. Yeah.
How
would you have worded it? In the middle of the season, you get demoted. You would have said, you know what, don't worry about me, people. I'm going to work my ass off the rest of the season. What would you have said? I think you'd parse some words here.
Okay.
What would you have said to make it not? I don't think that's coded language other than you saying, hey, this is what's in front of me right now. And that's that. I mean, I don't look at that as him saying that he's necessarily gone.
Okay.
No, I agree, Sean. I think he'd
put it in that moment.
Okay.
It is the way he said it. That is the way he said it, because I do remember. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't have, he may not have meant, you know, anything hidden by it.
What are you going to say in the middle of the season? Hey, I'm
sure,
going to work
my I got you.
5 years here to get back. You know, that's.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
he could have said, he could have said, hold on.
He could still leave after the year. And
he could have said, I am going to coach the hell out of my team or my position for the rest of my contract. But he said season, Sean.
Well, yeah, but that was just a. He's in a press conference.
Nobody fucking says that. Nobody.
He's in a press conference. Not a, it wasn't a written statement. Yeah, you're not going to say that.
When they ask Ryan Day, when Ryan Day, he's not talking about 3 years from now. He's talking about this season. You're in the middle of the season. That's what's going on. Fuck next season. That doesn't even exist.
You guys want to put any money on Combs being there next year?
Oh, no.
No.
There you go.
Now, you want to put some money on whether it's his choice or their choice? Because we'll never really know the answer, no matter what comes out.
As sure.
It will be done delicately either way.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because he's a great recruiter. You don't want to lose face with that, obviously, as a program.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're still thinking about keeping people happy. You know, there's going to be players here that may like coaches that may be leaving. You know, yeah. So there's always that.
I am going to welcome any interviews for Al Washington this year, though. Last year when he had supposedly taken or accepted or been offered the Tennessee DC job, I was perturbed just like Ryan Day was. But looking back, I'm like, go ahead. I'm not sure you've done much here. I honestly don't.
You know, he got a big promotion. I mean, he got a big raise to stay. And he got a job title promotion. Not whether what that actually is, but I know his title had changed. I think he's not co-defensive coordinator, but he was
running game coordinator or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But regardless, he's looking, obviously. And which I'm not surprised. I mean, it doesn't offend me that these guys are all looking as assistants or, you know, position coaches, but
no, of course not. It's their career.
Probably a bad choice for that Tennessee job. I don't know. Maybe he's just taking the
interim. He should have taken that job because I don't think his stock is going up. I think that you look at the talent that Al Washington has been able to coach for the last 3-4 years, however long he's been here. And you know all the four that we had last year that all went on to the league, and the amount of five stars in that he's had in that room, and even now with the guy,
I feel like
the whole linebacker crew. I mean, I see these teams like Northwestern with Patty Fishers and stuff that just that their linebackers dominate games, and our linebackers don't dominate games, and we've got three or four guys that I feel should, and they just don't.
Teams like Wisconsin have 3-4 dominant linebackers yearly. Iowa has a couple linebackers a year. But we have, I mean, none of our guys, look at all of our fifth-year seniors, our fourth-year seniors, Pope, Gant, Taraja. No development. None of them can make an impact with us. A couple of them knew it, and then they left. Taraja just stuck around, and he's been a ghost the last end of the season. When the running game gets more important and we play more running teams in the colder weather, Taraja is nowhere. So, I mean, where's Reed Carrico? Where's all these other recruits, these guys, these, low four stars we've accumulated over the years?
Well, we only got six guys healthy for this game.
I understand injuries, but we also took a running back in September and brought him over, and he's been one of our best. So what is really going on with the linebacking core? Are we not recruiting the right linebackers? Because they're not getting developed right.
I'm concerned it's development and culture in that particular room. That's why I lean on getting Al Washington out.
It could be as simple as that. These guys are all talented. Other schools want them too. We just have to get them.
Do you think what I'm thinking, Joe? Or do you think that our linebacker is a little bit soft?
I just think they haven't been developed, Sean. I think it's strictly that. I think he's been given the talent, like raw talent, but they haven't been developed for shit. I see our linebackers getting swallowed up or being way out of position. Cody Simon has his back to the ball sometimes, like against Michigan specifically. He has his back to the fucking ball. What are you doing? I'm seeing him take himself out of plays like we saw with the linebackers last year.
All the linebackers. I saw all the linebackers doing that. Every I was like,
right.
Okay. The first half,
and every time it's a 13-yard, 16-yard run for Kanaskin.
They ran trap and counter back and forth off both sides, both all formations, single back, two back. They ran the trap and the counter the whole first half. That's what got us. That's when you saw Simon getting pushed in the back. It's that guard closing. Closing down on him.
Right.
And you just, it's an easy cut for a running back. You follow the guard.
But down in the goal line. I saw it down in the goal line. He took himself out of a gap. He was supposed to fill the A gap where Haskins was coming. I have screenshots of it I saw on Twitter earlier today. He sat in the gap and then flowed left as Haskins is coming through that gap. It's like, what are you doing? Fuck.
Yeah. I know what play you're talking about. Not the last one where they all kind of got out of the way and let them score because they're like, we need this block to even have a chance.
Yeah. No, yeah, they all laid down for that one. That was smart. But
I couldn't tell at first. It's like you guys have been playing like that all day.
Right. This is just another play, really. This is just another third down.
If us as Buckeye fans could see or knew exactly what Michigan was going to do, mm-hmm. saw what they were doing it, and our defense would have seen that, would have known that was coming too. Why we couldn't stop the same stuff. They didn't. So I'm saying, like, their basic run game didn't change any. They just did it.
It was pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, why? No adjustments. No adjustments.
All their outside stuff. They were having all of those tight ends go out there and just bully us. And we didn't have the dudes out there. Yeah. The one linebacker gets swallowed up.
Yeah.
I'll be out there, you know, block. They'd have tight ends blocking our in corners.
Right, because we're running a 4-2-5 out there.
Because we don't have 4-3. Because we don't have enough good linebackers.
Yeah.
We don't have enough good linebackers in the program.
I think
we can't even pull them off the bench.
We had all of our linebackers over on the one side of the field. They ran it the other way, and it was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
It's poor all around. I think just pour all around, and then I didn't. And maybe it's that crowd, but our sideline just looked fucking blah all day. Like they were never into it.
Well, we never got any momentum, man. Like we never got the momentum.
Make their own, and
yeah.
It looked like everybody was sitting around waiting for the other guy to do something. That's as
lit as I've ever seen the Big House ever. Like, maybe in 20-plus years.
Not good for them. Fuck off.
I'm not saying I enjoyed it. I'm just saying I've never seen them. I've never seen people there with pom-poms all shaking at the same time, or even that stadium so full. Never saw it. At least it's been a long time.
It did seem loud. I was actually wondering at some point, because the Big House is notoriously not loud. And it seemed really loud on TV. And in the background, I'm like, are they pumping in music, man? What in the hell is going on?
Right.
It was rocking.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get past it and let's talk Rose Bowl. How's the Rose Bowl treat you? How's that sound, Sean? Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like anything good to me other than we get some development for the young kids and get a chance for Olave to go over 1,000 yards. Other than that, I could really care less. I mean, I guess maybe, especially you're out there on the West Coast, nice to look good out there because, you know, we can't hit that area pretty good. So, I mean, there's some side benefits to it, but in the grand scheme, I guess it's good for the program, but I don't give a shit.
Jeff, what do you think about opt-outs?
I think we see them.
Like a handful?
Yeah, probably. And we'll never even know, probably, because they're just going to put him unavailable. Oh, he had a knee. He's got a thing. We'll never fucking know unless the players themselves.
Even though with 5 weeks of rest, like Bradley Roby, bone bruise after 5 or 6 weeks.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we see him. I'm with Sean. I'm indifferent at this point. You look that disappointing against those assholes. I'm indifferent. I mean, what are we going to play? We're going to play Washington State. We're not going to get Oregon even.
I don't want Utah. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. You want to go out to the Rose Bowl and lose?
Nope.
Okay.
No. I'd rather have a rematch with Oregon. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think.
Why? So they why we're gonna change our defense before then? They're gonna run it down our fucking
throat. I don't want to do that. At least we saw them before. Utah will fuck us up.
I don't know. You know, whatever. Getting some development for the players if they can make good time of it and the coaches do a good job of instruction. Hopefully it helps, but whatever. If 10-3 and 10-2, nobody fucking cares. You know what I mean? Nobody's gonna know after next year what happened this year. Losing the game on the West Coast, going out to the Rose Bowl and getting beat up by somebody out there in front of West Coast recruits, that would suck. Yeah. But I'll probably watch. You know,
it doesn't have the same shine as a Woody Hayes Rose Bowl.
Of course.
No, I mean, I'll probably still watch it, but I'm indifferent. I got a Michigan flag in front of my fucking house right now for a whole week.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I came up with the bet because every year it's been $100 and he's tired of paying me. So I said, all right, well, how about, loser flags, victor's flag for a week. And I took my flag over there yesterday and,
you should have said, hey, you want $100 instead? You should have said, hey, you want $100 instead?
Yeah, good idea.
Would have taken it. He didn't want. He felt bad. He's like, you don't have to put it up if you don't want to. I'm like, nah, I made the bet, motherfucker. I'll put it up. Every day I got to send him a picture with it up on my house.
Oh, that's the real tragedy. All right, so Heisman odds. Obviously, CJ gave it up. Although Bryce Young did not do anything to win it, in my opinion.
Did you guys
see that Bama game? Yikes.
Oh yeah, I watched that game in silence by myself. But he didn't. He won the game, Joe. He didn't do anything to lose it. He didn't win the Heisman with it, but he won the game.
Right. Well, record. Yeah, taking Auburn to a few overtimes, which amounted to just extra points. Not a win for me, in my opinion. Now the divide between him and CJ is drastic. I don't agree with it. I think even CJ in a loss, even though Ohio State's not going to win the Big Ten, I'm not sure that Bama's going to win their conference. Probably not. So maybe things will change next weekend if Bama gets ruled by Georgia, you know.
What have the odds changed to? Because I'm still a kind of a firm believer that CJ, with the numbers he put up, three high threes, two touchdowns, zero picks. I know it was an L, and I know he's got the L with the Oregon loss, but he threw 400 plus yards that game.
He almost went for 500.
I don't think
I got him right here.
I don't think he's lost and go against CJ necessarily, and I still like him to win this award.
Young is minus 210. Young is minus 210, heavy favorite. Stroud is plus 425.
I think Stroud
that's one and two. That's one and two. There's after that, it goes up to like plus 1400 for Kenneth Walker and Kenny Pickett, and then Aiden Hutchinson somehow gets launched into the plus 1400 world.
Oh gosh, let them win that. Give it to Hutchinson.
Fuck yeah, please, can you? Cocksuckers. So yeah, but that's a minus 210 to plus 425. That's a huge gap between Young and Stroud.
So yeah, I mean, I don't see this is like a year that they should just like nobody earned it. It does not give one.
Yeah,
out.
It just
because I mean, I guess Stroud's numbers look good. Brace's numbers are pretty close. I mean, they're pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be Bryce Young. CJ gets invited. Probably Kenneth Walker. I don't know, how many did they take to New York? Three or four? I don't know.
Yeah,
but
CJ will go.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't think he wins it. If he wins it, I think we'll be lucky to win the bowl game. to CJ wins the Heisman.
Okay, we got to talk about some breaking news right now. We're going to skip past the championship week spreads. We got to talk about Lincoln Riley going to USC.
Yeah.
This is official. People are decommitting from Oklahoma. Five-star wideout Brandon Ennis. Four-star running back Treyon Webb. Trinity Christian Academy in Jacksonville. Treyon Webb, hello. Would I like you to introduce you to Tony Alford, please?
Well, that's the question on these guys. Are they decommitting to follow Lincoln Riley to USC, or are they decommitting to open up their options?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it depends. Webb was down to, before he committed back in July, he was down to Oklahoma, Georgia, and Ohio State. So I'm not sure he ever took a visit out west. Probably not, but maybe he can.
Hey, that West Coast better hang on to your commits, your verbals out there on the West Coast when you got fucking Lincoln Riley pulling into L.A.
Yeah, yeah. Trinity Christian, where Sean Wade is from.
We have a lot of connection there, yeah. I think it's going to skew both ways. I think USC is going to be able to get attention of a few guys that they wouldn't have had earlier, and Oklahoma's going to lose some.
Yeah,
but you never know. I mean, last week I saw something on Twitter that he was in talks with LSU to become the head coach.
He might have used those talks against everybody. I mean, he might have been working with a three way.
I even saw that's when the Mel Tucker extension was going around, and what the Mel Tucker rumor was like a 10-year, $95 million. I heard that LSU wanted to get Lincoln Riley at same $95 million over 8 years.
Oh, these numbers dwarf that, dude. At USC, this is.
What are they coming up with here?
Give me a second.
I think he's got to be a 13 or 15 a year. Which is fucking crazy. Lincoln Riley's going to make as much as Odell Beckham.
I should play more Madden or something.
Hey, Lincoln Riley's making the same as Odell Beckham.
Yeah, he's making 7.6 right now.
That's not bad.
But he's not like top five, or he might be top 10 in the country.
Right. And yeah, I mean, the top line.
That 7.6 don't spread that far in L.A. You need to make a lot more money. Oklahoma, 7.6 is a lot of jack.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure that's what the increase is for, is like cost of living, man. I live at this level. It's probably the same. $7 million in Oklahoma is $13 million in L.A.
Insane. Yeah.
Oh, and you can add all kind of proficiencies in the contracts. You know, my housing's free, all this shit. Mm-hmm. You know, right. We want a school-owned beach house in Laguna, you know, that I'm going to live at. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm not finding any numbers yet for USC, but obviously if he's making 7 point whatever in bumfuck Egypt, it's got to be well over 10.
He's definitely the highest paid in the country. I mean, I think he's right. I think Saban's top at 11 or 12.
Yeah, you got Shaw.
I think he will be.
David Shaw's up there. He's like around 9.
I think that's part of taking a job. He's like, look, you're making the highest paid in the country. Right. That's just part of it, whatever that had to be.
Yeah. Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart scratching some checks out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's recruiting this next couple. Well, I mean, you got this next month, or not even a month, till early signing period.
You got like 2 weeks, man.
2 weeks. Okay, that's okay. I know it was early. It was summer and settle. You know, we'll see what Lincoln Riley can pull out there in USC, talking to guys, keeping guys, you know, trying to maybe tell them, hey, don't commit yet. Give me till February. Mm-hmm. give me till February. I mean, you know, get this. Remember watch back USC? In
the USC used to get every good athlete, you know, west of the Mississippi, yeah. Not Texas. Right. I mean, they got every. I mean, they just pick half the country was theirs. Like, thank you. If Lincoln can get them back to that level, watch out.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you watch for some of the guys that are, you know, solid verbals or whatever to schools, and they, which maybe the schools thought they were going to be signing early, if they say, well, we'll wait till signing day, that's probably because maybe he got in their ear and said, hey, give me another month here, let's get to know me, and he's gonna have to hit the ground running. He's got to turn that program around, so there could be a lot of moving parts in recruiting over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, December 15th is early signing, so you got to...
Damani Jackson. Hey, Damani Jackson.
There you go.
First call. Yep. First phone call.
Yeah. For everybody, not just Lincoln Riley.
Right. Yeah.
So...
You say, oh, son, well, we don't... You said you liked it here. What's the problem?
Yeah. I think Treyon Webb actually... I'm not sure he wants to go out west. I think he wants to be within a one, you know... One connection from home, kind of flight, you know, which I can understand.
You know, that's why he
committed to Oklahoma, you know. So, interesting how this is going to play out. This is going to affect a lot of national recruiting across the board, I think. And we'll see how this first class goes for Lincoln Riley. And now they're saying that Oklahoma is going after Cliff Kingsbury in the NFL.
So why would he leave a pro job?
No, he won't.
He's got the quarterback he wants in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, they're going to try and throw NFL money at him and say, hey, how would you like to come back to college? And instead of just working on football all the time, you get to recruit too.
Right.
Yeah, you get to go into living rooms of parents and kids in the ghetto and try and commit them to your school instead of handpicking them in the NFL.
Instead of living in a palace in Scottsdale.
Yeah, that's all right. Seems all right to me.
Yeah, I mean, of course you can say we're going to go after Cliff Kingsbury. Sure you are.
Yeah, it sounds awesome, doesn't it? If you're in Oklahoma,
and the next school is going to go after Nick Saban too.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. We're going to go after Saban. We're going to see if he's interested. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. We gave him a phone call. Haven't heard back yet.
I wouldn't be surprised, you know, in the next couple years though, if an Urban Meyer name ain't flopping around out there.
I'm surprised it hasn't yet, honestly. Especially when that USC job came open.
Oh, it was talked about, just, you know, but there wasn't, of course, there was no substantial, no, but Urban was asked about it, I remember. They brought it up at a press conference, you know, one of his weeklies.
He's probably waiting on Saban to retire and go take that Bama gig.
Yeah, probably.
No, he's a builder. I don't think he's not much of a maintainer. He's a builder.
Shit may go sideways once Saban retires, which is coming within the next 5 years. Once he retires, you see these SEC teams, especially like Georgia, setting themselves up for long-term stability, you know, where we're going to, once Saban's gone, we're going to fucking jump on that opportunity, right?
Yeah, and you think Ole Miss is trying to hang on to... Yeah, so what's his fuck name? As long as they can, but he's jostling for a big job.
Oh, dude, he's going for the fucking Canes job. I think he wants the Canes job. I think
he could take he could have that in a heartbeat. I think it was like I think they'd be fortunate to have him as much as they've fallen off.
Yeah,
but I don't know. A lot of jockeying around. I mean, the SEC is trying to line up. LSU knows they know the Georgia playbook. They're just trying to get to it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Good show, boys. You want to take a little time off, and maybe we'll do a recruiting show around signing day. Signing day is the 15th of December, so maybe a little recruiting episode, and then we'll know by next Sunday where we're going to play and when we're going to play.
Around early signing day sounds good.
Okay. We'll figure it out. So we're going to take some time off, folks. We've been grinding it. Wish it was on a better note, which wish we were playing this weekend. So. Yeah. Anyway. All right, guys. Appreciate you. Hope you have a good, winter. Have a good winter. Losers. So, as always, we appreciate you, listeners. Keep an eye out for any of the press conferences coming up. I'm not sure if they're doing a Tuesday press conference like normal. So,
I bet they are.
Well, it's going to be a lot of talk about who's coming back and who's not.
Yeah.
So, answer. So. Keep asking.
Can you imagine the talks in the Woody right now? What are these coaches
doing like right just, now? Dave's just going to be, hey, we're working through it.
Yeah. Right. It's a series of dartboards he has in his office. So, all right.
Yeah.
Good show, boys. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, bro.
Later.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.